And now, the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
We will do our best to talk slowly and not use too many big English words, because I know you said you're not the best with English, so we'll...
Okay.
Neither am I, so that's a good...
Yeah. Pappy is pretty bad at everything. What, Pappy?
I didn't say anything.
Oh.
I'm just making grunting noises.
What's up, everyone? This is Joe.
And I am 78% caffeine.
You know, when Chris isn't here, you should just say your name.
Okay. I'm Pappy. I also happen to be 78% caffeine.
No Chris this week, as he is out performing with his band, The Benders, because he's...
he is outperforming his band.
Yes. No, he's outperforming this week, so it is just Pappy and I, and we are not alone. Of course, it's SML, so we have a fun interview lined up today, calling all the way from South Korea, Sun Park. Am I pronouncing it right, or is the Korean...
Yes, right.
Okay. I didn't know if it was like Sun Park, or I'm terrible at pronunciation, so...
Call me just Sun.
All right.
Yeah. Sun. That works.
The sun in the sky. You know?
So, hello to you. How are you?
Yeah, how are you?
We're doing good. Tell us a bit about who you are and what you do and why you're on our show.
Okay. My name is Sun Park from South Korea, as Joe said. And I'm a creative director in our game studio called Total Cream. Weird name. Yeah.
I like the name.
Thank you. Our studio started at 2009, and today we released our second commercial game on Xbox One. I'm so excited.
And the name of the game is
6180 The Moon.
Very good. All right. I know I've played it. Pappy, you've attempted to play it.
Yeah, I beat Earth and Venus, and then I got to where the platforms start to randomly disappear.
Uh-huh.
And I got very, very bad at it. So I've been like world... In Mario terms, I'm in like world 3-3. So I made it enough to really enjoy the game and get a grasp of it. And, I haven't quit playing it. I'm just no longer beating the levels at any rapid pace. It's more like, oh, this should take Joe about a minute and a half. So I'm looking at the next 20 minutes of my life.
So I beat the whole game in a night because I'm not terrible at games like Pappy. For those who don't know what the game is, tell us a bit about the game, what it is. Give us the sales pitch, basically.
Okay. 6180 The Moon is, I think it's one of the weirdest platformer game. It's a story about the moon, whole journey for finding sun, disappeared sun. And in the game, the game mechanic is really unique. We connected top and bottom of the game screen, so player can jump extremely high through the screen. Yeah, that's all. So the game is a tiny platformer game, so player can beat it within 3 or 4 hours. But the musical experience is quite good, and the unique jump mechanic would be would give you a new platforming experience.
I really did like the jump mechanic. I enjoyed where a lot of the jumps, they're not just about precision jumping, it's about precision timing as well.
That's kind of how I sold the game today to friends and coworkers. Is like, it's imagine imagine a platformer, but it wraps around. You go above the top and pop out from the bottom. So you have to time it and aim yourself to avoid spikes on the top and the bottom while moving. And I can honestly say it was a really fun game to play, even though I was terrible at it.
Thank you.
The music is fantastic. Like, yeah. I can honestly say I haven't enjoyed just sitting back and playing a game while the music played since Threes came out. And what was that, two years ago?
Something like that.
Yeah, so the music is phenomenal, and it really does. It's almost this meditative game. You know, it almost feels like I'm meditating and relaxing while playing.
Yeah, we thought the jump mechanic is a totally new experience. So people would, sometimes people would complicate it for it from it. So yeah, we need to make a calm atmosphere.
I definitely
less of complication.
Yeah, I definitely made a few levels harder than they needed to be, but because I would look at it and be like, oh, I got to do this, this, and this, and this. And after dying five or six times, I'm like, no, I only had to do one thing, not six.
So you said it's about a 3 to 4 hour game. I initially thought the game was a lot shorter than it really is. Because you first start, you have Moon, Earth, Venus, Mars, and the Sun. And I thought basically 5 worlds, 10 stages, and you know, you hit the end, you meet the Sun, you talk with the Sun, the story kind of resolves itself. And then I was surprised when I saw the continue option and you completely flipped the game. And in most games might have like a mirror mode, but this is like a complete inversion where you're not only going basically upside down with reversed gravity, but you're going backwards through all 50 stages again. And I loved that.
Thank you. I think one of the unique points of our game is like, jump height, you know? So from that extremely high jump. How can I explain in English?
It's our native language, don't worry.
Yeah.
In the normal platformer game, player cannot touch the bottom side of the platforms. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Yeah, just jump over the platforms, right? But in our game, the jump height is extremely high, and player can touch both of top and bottom of the platforms. That's the unique point. So if we just change the gravity, we could make a totally new experience with actually same levels. There was the point of reversed levels.
Was the level design, did a lot of time go into making sure that the levels played equally well with the reverse gravity?
Yeah. So, after we made 50 levels, we just experimented other mechanics like no gravity or reversed gravity or something different things. And then when we reversed gravity, whole levels were changed to totally new levels just from changing gravity. So it was 53 levels.
Yeah,
game designer. Yeah.
When I initially got through the 50 stages, I was like, wow, this was a really fun game. It was kind of short, but it's only $4. So, you know, this is an easy recommendation to give someone. And I was ready to praise it on the show just based on the first 50 stages. And then I saw that the game is basically doubled because of the flipped gravity and the reverse stages. And I'm honestly like, why did you only charge $4 for this game? It seems like you could have charged a couple more bucks.
Yeah, because we just spent 6 months for making it. Even though we changed game making tool after that. So at first we just spent 6 months with two members, including me. So
wow,
I think it'll be a nice prize. But you know, after we launched it, the first version, we spent 2.5 years. No. About 2 years for porting, Xbox One, and we are still working on for Wii U version, and changing development tool, launching on Steam with improved version. So I think, we could set the price more higher now.
What was it originally released on? Was it a mobile title?
No, on PC.
Ah, PC. All right.
Yeah. We're also working on mobile version as well.
This seems like a great game to play on a mobile device. It seems perfectly tailored to the jump mechanic and... Oh, God. Potato, you're on my lap again. I have a cat who loves being a part of every show because she loves my desk. So... Oh, I feel bad talking about the extra 50 stages since Pappy will never see them.
My goal is to beat it because of the story. But the backwards thing, probably I'll never. I'm like, oh, hey, I finally figured out how to do it the right way, and now I can't do it the upside down way. Dang it.
About the story, someone said it's a so weird story, like... a child novel, which written by stoned hippie.
I kind of like that, though. That's really good.
Pap, you have a firsthand experience being a stoned hippie of a child, right?
If I had played this game when I was a stoned hippie 16, 17 years ago, I would have loved it. Yeah. Again, it's the music. It's the story. It's relaxing. The story does seem more like a fairy tale, you know, like a child's story, but it's really good. You know, it's really fun. And, you know, I like the little that all the planets have their own personality, you know.
Yeah, Venus is kind of, you know, narcissistic, bitchy kind of girl. I thought that
Earth
was funny.
I like the Earth conversation, too. You know, Earth, are you balding? Yeah, it's these people. Why do you put up with them? I don't know.
I'm sure that's how Earth really feels. Like, just got to get these people off of me.
I've been trying to shake them off for thousands of years. They just won't fly off into outer space. Mm-hmm.
And now we're just killing ourselves because America is full of stupid people. So, yeah. Donald Trump. No. Oh, man. So, tell us a bit about what made you bring the game to the Xbox One.
All right.
What led you to bring the game to the Xbox One?
You mean like a feeling or
just why did you decide that, hey, let's
this
computer, why not go to the Xbox?
I understood. There was a fantastic story. We brought our game to Tokyo Game Show last year. And in our booth, we met Phil Spencer, the head of Xbox. And he played our game, and he loved it. And he tweeted, like, the other one, we should take it on Xbox One. Like,
I saw his tweets about the game. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, there was this. The start of our working. So after TGS, I emailed to Phil Spencer, and we did work together.
Man, I wish I had Phil Spencer's email. Hey, Phil, like 7 people listen to our show. Do you want to come on it?
Yeah, I think I should. Yeah, I could. Yeah, sell it. You know.
Oh man.
Just kidding.
But like, what the hell are these people doing? How did you get my email address? Oh man.
It was so shock experience. Yeah, we didn't expect it that we could meet some people like Phil Spencer. So yeah, even I didn't know his actual face. So yeah, I just thought about like, oh yeah, he's from Xbox One. Xbox, America division or something. But when I got his name card, yeah, I really shocked.
I was gonna say, when did you realize it was him? Did he have a name badge on, or did he introduce himself? So you just got his card and you realized that, oh my god, the head of Microsoft, the head of Xbox, just played my game and liked it.
Yeah, fantastic.
And now you're on the Xbox One.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm so excited. It's just about 9 hours before launching.
Yeah, I know most games usually show up around this time on in America, so it should be ready within a couple hours, I would say. And by the time the episode launches, it's definitely out and available. So if anybody's listening to this and hasn't picked up 6180 The Moon yet on the Xbox One, you should do that. It's $4 and
it's worth it. I'm not going to say that like this is like as difficult as Super Meat Boy, but like Joe mentioned, the timing gets really important. So for those of you guys who do enjoy a game that kind of ramps up its difficulty level, this is a good game for that. You know, it starts off really, like, I was all proud of myself. Like, hey, man, I found a game I'm good at. And then that lasted for about 10 minutes.
And I could be over here like, yeah, the game's not that hard at all. I think my 6-year-old niece, Aubrey, could beat it.
But it's fun. Yeah, if you have Twitch and timing abilities, it's not going to be a hard game, but it's still going to be satisfying. When you hit a level that gives you trouble and you beat it, you do feel really good.
Yeah.
Because it's not such a long – the levels are short enough that even if you have trouble, you can still beat it in a few minutes. So you don't get frustrated and give up because, oh, it's a 10-minute, 15-minute kind of level.
Yeah, it'd be good for one-time streaming.
Oh man, I can't wait to watch people stream the game. Just to watch people figure out how to finally get through a stage, and when something just clicks in their mind of how the stage works and how they've got to time the jumps, that'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, or yeah. Mike, it's when you know how to beat the stage and you just need 17 more tries to time it right.
Every time someone stream our game, at first, they say like, oh, at the first jump.
Yeah, I wonder how many people don't realize that there's the wraparound mechanism until like a few stages in.
I figured it out in the first stage, but there were still those, you know, okay, I need to account for it. I need to know that it's going to happen. So I move to the right and then back to the left and then the right. And then I still hit a spike.
Oh, you're so bad at video games.
I am. Pappy plays poorly.
Oh man. So Pappy, you have a question you like asking developers. Why don't you take care of that one?
Yeah, and this is I like to ask, you know, you obviously spent a lot of time making this game. But when you decided to take a break from it, what other video games did you play while you were relaxing?
For relaxing. Basically I like music games. That's why we concentrated to make a good musical experience in our game. And my favorite music game is I'm not sure I pronounce it well, but 140 or 140, I don't know. Just number, 140.
I'm not familiar with that. Is it on PC or is it on console?
Yeah, it's on PC, on Steam.
Okay.
Pappy will look it up. I'm not much of a PC gamer myself. I mainly stick to consoles.
It's a minimalist platformer game. So I guess, were you a little inspired by this kind of game?
Yeah.
Where the music, and it's very, very light on the graphics, but it's all about your timing. And
it also have a very interactive musical experience.
I'm going to write that down to look that up, because that sounds pretty good.
And your computer could probably play it on Steam, Joe.
My computer can't handle much. So
it's 8-bit graphic, so.
Yeah, and I also came back to playing threes recently.
Yeah, I love threes. Joe beat me by, 7 points, and I still haven't been able to beat him.
I still don't know how I beat you, because I'm terrible at that game. I look at high scores of people like Nick Chester, and I see how, what are ours? Ours are 20,000 or something
that. Yeah, it's 24,007 for you and 24,000 for me. And Nick Chester's 100,000?
Something crazy like that. I don't understand it.
People are very good at it. But no, that's pretty neat. Especially in... So how do you think this game is going to do in your native country? I know Joe and I are...
I actually read the press release, and I noticed that the game is available in many countries, but for some reason it's not available in South Korea.
Oh, yeah.
What is the reason? How is a South Korean game not available in South Korea?
It's a long story. we are South Korean, but we don't make games in Korea. It's for to protest our government game policy. Do you know the shutdown policy in our country? It's a really silly policy that every juveniles couldn't play online game after midnight.
Wow.
So
really?
They shut down whole online game as a Korean government rule. Yeah.
Wow. So not even on a Saturday night, at midnight that it goes off?
Yeah, every day.
Oh, wow.
So sometimes some pro gamers who played League of Legends or StarCraft.
Yeah.
They shut down while they playing with other pro gamer in other country.
Oh wow!
How does it get shut down? Do they just kill the internet to all of the country, or
just logged out?
Wow!
Yeah, automatically, yeah.
Because I was gonna say, South Korea is very well known for having a lot of competitive teams for League of Legends and StarCraft and
yeah.
So I didn't know that was a policy. That's actually really kind of terrible, yeah, because...
It's informative. We're teaching people shit on SML Podcast.
If I have a 16-year-old, I'd rather, if he's going to, stay up late on a Saturday night, I'd rather he play a game than go out and get into trouble,
Yeah.
Because nothing good ever happens after midnight when you're 16 years old and outside.
No.
You're going to get into trouble.
And then, yeah. Some politicians officially said game is like a drug, so people should control their time to avoid too much playing, and country should control them for nations healthy or something. That's really so.
I know that there have been, I've seen stuff online about in Japan or in Korea or in China, of like game cafes of people just staying there for days at a time and just not eating, not drinking, not sleeping, and just dying at a computer because of addiction.
But that's no worse than what we have here in the United States with people calling bomb threats because someone beat them in a video game.
Yeah, that's pretty stupid too.
Yeah, that would be a specific problem, but shutting down is so bad solution. Right?
That's a terrible solution.
Because I'll be honest, if you're addicted to video games at that point, you're just going to pull out your Vita or your DS and play until 6 or 7 in the morning. Servers come back up.
Fire up the NES. Go old school.
And by the way, Korean game rating system is so bad as well. If you study to make a game from today, and you made a really tiny game like just clicking or something like that, and if you want to publish your game making practice on the internet, you should pass the review from the government.
Yeah.
So basically, all games should pass the paid review system from government for to publish it, even though it's a just freeware or something like homework project.
Wow.
That's really interesting stuff.
So if you make a program to help fellow students study, if you were going to release that in South Korea, it would have to be approved by the government?
Yeah.
That is crazy.
That's I think we found a government worse than Australia when it comes to making games.
Well, no, that's Australia is just bad when it comes to releasing games.
Well, remember the taxes.
Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah. You have to pay taxes on Kickstarter just to make your game.
So if the game wasn't developed in South Korea, did you just go elsewhere to do it? How did that, what was the process there?
What's the process about?
Did you make the game in South Korea and then just not release it in South Korea, or did you actually go somewhere else to make it?
Oh yeah. We announced that we don't make a game in Korea, and we would not to promote our game in South Korea. So we should sell our game only outside of Korea, in the world. Yeah.
Well, I'm personally glad that I got to play the game.
I'm glad America gets it, and I will do my best on Twitter to hype it up and try to get as many eyes as possible on the game, because I really, really loved it.
I'm not sure when we start make a Korean version, but when our team think like, oh yeah, Korean society can think game as a fun culture or something like really, really fun thing, not like a social drug or something. And then we could make a Korean version.
Now, hopefully that happens for you.
Yeah, I hope to make it. And I'm a Korean, but I also are an Earthling, so
yeah. Yeah, there's some weird policies and weird restrictions out there worldwide, and doing this show has only opened up some of that experience to us to see what it's like in other countries, and that's pretty crazy that it's so locked down and restricted over in South Korea.
Yeah. Thanks to government, they made our talking.
Well, I'm glad that you were still able to get the game made and released, because it is an awesome title.
Oh, thank you.
So I'm not sure. Is there anything else that you would like to talk about the game?
Yeah. I just want to say, like, yeah, go and buy it and enjoy it.
You can afford the game, everybody, and you'll get your money out of it.
If you buy the game and you don't like it, write to us at the smlpodcast@gmail.com and I'll PayPal you $4. How about that?
First person.
First person who doesn't like it. I'm going to limit that.
Like, legitimately. Like, you can't just be like, now I got a free game. You have to give us, like, a breakdown.
And I'll check your gamer card to make sure that you actually played it and got some. Like, if you play it and you don't get any achievements, that doesn't count.
Yeah,
you got to get something.
Even I accidentally got achievements. Come on.
I really did like some of the achievements, too. As soon as I saw the whole mechanic of falling through the screen, in my mind, I'm like, there's got to be an achievement for just falling over and over and over.
Right.
And when it popped up, I just smiled. I was like, it had to happen.
Yeah, even the title of that achievement is Still Alive.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a lot like how the screen is. It's just the portal is the top and the bottom. You can imagine it's just sponsored by Valve in your imagination.
Yeah, we also have other interesting achievement name like Super Moon Boy or Space Crashers. Yeah.
And it's definitely a rewarding game if you're into achievement hunting, because there's nothing too difficult or too hard to get in the game, and it's a great experience as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is the first time in a long time Joe and I have agreed that this game was a lot of fun for both of us. So
thank you for playing and covering. Yeah.
Well, we want to thank you for coming on and talking with us.
Thank
you. Well, we know it's got to be early over there, so we'll let you go and get on with your day.
All right. My bad English.
It's better than some guests we've had.
Oh, thank you.
It's better than some American guests we've had. It's better than most of the hosts of this show.
Yeah. Yeah, we miss Chris.
Yeah. Like, we've had some stupid people on this show before.
Yeah, we miss Chris.
Yeah. I definitely appreciate you coming on. It has been a blast talking to you. It has been a blast talking to the game. And it's been an interesting experience talking to you and hearing about game production and restrictions in South Korea. And I just want to thank you for coming on. And if you have any final words for our listeners.
Good night.
All right. Thanks for calling in, son. Have a good one.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. That was really cool.
Yeah.
Hearing about different South Korean restrictions, and that shit's interesting.
Yeah, like I said, the fastest internet in the world, and they get shut off by the government because some old people are like, I don't understand video games.
Video games are weird.
So rather than put money into treating addictive personalities, we're just going to treat everybody like a criminal.
I know some people may be worried that was a shorter interview than most, but it felt right to keep it a bit shorter because of the language barrier and issues there. So,
and we actually managed to get a really good interview without trailing off into stupid like we tend to do.
You're stupid.
Speaking of me being stupid, so I have a coworker who's actually been listening to our podcast a lot lately, like on all of his drives to and from work and everything.
Why?
And he's actually really been enjoying it. He you know, listened to the one you had with the gentleman from Croatia.
Yeah.
And he's like, it was phenomenal, man. And they swore at you. And I'm like, yeah, I need to listen to it because we're interviewing them again.
We're going to be talking to them on Sunday.
What's funny, though, is he's like, yeah, I've been listening to you guys because the Nerdist podcast is on hiatus. And I think that that would be a really good tagline for our show. You know, listen to us because your favorite podcast is taking a break.
The SML podcast because Nerdist is on vacation.
But no, I mean,
I'm going to get Norg to fucking record that.
There's actually been several coworkers who've come up to me and said that they've listened to the podcast and they really enjoy it. Now, the one who's an audiophile has informed me that my microphone can be much better. So I'm probably going to have him come over here someday to show me what I need to install and or purchase, because he's very, very big on audio and recording. He's like, you know, you can sound like you're in the same room. It's a real problem for me listening to you talk. And I'm like, well, it's a problem for you listening to me talk at work too. So I'm not really too surprised.
I think a lot of it is due to volume settings on your end, because I know on Chris's setup in the past, I've wondered if you were clipping, because yeah, it kind of has a crackle to it. But
and I do have to keep myself at a very specific distance from the mic.
Yeah, which is good, because the less we hear of you, the better. Shit.
So yeah, you have a lot of games to talk about. So I have a lot of games to ask you about, because
Oh my god, so many.
Played three video games in the last week.
Well, the first one that we could talk about right off the bat is 6180 The Moon.
Yeah.
All the pertinent info is developed and published by Turtle Cream, if you didn't understand what he said, but Turtle Cream.
Even he admitted, though, he's like, it's kind of a silly name. Like, I kind of like it. You know?
I love the name. It officially releases December 11th, so today/tomorrow is when we're recording. And again, it is $3.99. It is $4.
Start combining some of these awesome names, though, like Chainsawsome Turtle Cream.
Oh, God.
Would buy that product. You wouldn't even know what it is. You're like, it's chainsaw some turtle cream. Fuck it. I don't have a chainsaw or a turtle, but I need this.
$3.99. He said it's a 3 to 4 hour game. I beat it much quicker, but I can understand where some people would take a lot longer to play it, because the game kind of just clicked with me.
It does, and it clicked with me too, and then they changed the mechanics like two levels later.
Yeah, that's what I loved, is that each world added something new to the game to keep it fresh the whole way through.
When I got to the sun, and the sun drops and the disappearing floor, that's when I just sucked.
I think I got my 1,000 out of 1,000 achievements in 90 minutes.
All right, so it's something for everybody. You can speed run it, or you can suck balls.
And it's a fantastic game in the time it takes to watch a movie for cheaper than a movie.
Yeah, I like the story, man. Like, it's really cute, but it's interesting, and you're legitimately like, I can't wait to find out what's going on.
Yeah. And it's all basically because the moon doesn't know what happened to the sun.
And Venus is kind of a bitch.
Yeah. What a whore.
Damn. I'd say more of a narcissist.
Well, whatever. See you next Tuesday. Ah. She's a real see you next Tuesday.
Doing anything next Tuesday?
Yeah.
But yeah, that game.
An interview next Tuesday, actually, at 8 o'clock.
Well,
so
then
I was going to mention that to you after the show, but
I'll probably be in trouble next Tuesday. So.
Brought it up. So I might as well talk about that game. The one that we're going to have next Tuesday it's called Battle High 2 A+. It is developed and published by Matrified Games. It releases on the 16th, so we're getting to cover this one a little bit early. It is a 2D fighting game with an 8/16-bit pixel art style, and the backgrounds are all 3D graphics.
You gave me the code for that. I need to play it.
You ass. Yeah.
You said that. I'm like, wait a minute. I recognize that name. Oh, yeah.
So what are your opinions on the game, Pappy?
It installed really fast on my awesome internet. And I felt that it needed a few more words on the end, like Turbo HD Graphics Remix.
Well, the game started off as an Xbox 360 indie title. It eventually got, I believe, an Ouya port. I think it might have had a Steam port as well. And now it's getting an HD-ified re-release on the Xbox One. It's only going to be $5. It has, I think, 15 different characters in the game.
Not bad for $5, man.
Yeah, it's the fighting, it's a lot more basic than some of the newer games out there. Each character has, like, 3 or 4 special moves, and then, like, a super move as well, once you fill up a power gauge. And it's just classic 2D fighting.
I like that. I'm kind of a basic bitch, so.
I don't want to say it in a bad way that it's a basic fighter, but it's a very, again, it's hard to say this without it sounding bad, but it's a dumbed down fighter. And that's a good thing for people who are tired of the super complex fighting games that are coming out. It's a throwback to older stuff, and it's enjoyable to play. Each character has its own little story arc going through it. There's a backstory for the whole game in general. It's all as battle high. It's high school characters. It's really okay. Good stuff.
What was that old fighting game that was the high school characters from Japan?
Rival Schools?
Yeah. Or, yeah, like the baseball player and all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From Capcom. So,
Capcom. Those guys.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking with Matrified Games next week on Tuesday. So I'm sure that'll be a midweek release episode. God, we have so many episodes coming out. Dude, it's cool as shit how many interviews we're getting and fun shit like that.
Fun shit.
Good stuff.
Speaking of good stuff, I gotta send your presents out tomorrow.
Decent stuff, you mean?
I swear so much on your Christmas card. Yeah, the holidays are coming up. You guys gotta be listening about all these games so you can start gifting some fucking awesome indie games to your friends and relatives.
Yeah, speaking of awesome indie games, here's another one I'm trying to get an interview for. I don't know if it's gonna happen. We've actually had emails asking if we'll have them on. It is Breakfall are the developers. The game is called Starwall. It's been out on PlayStation already. It is finally coming to the Xbox One this week. It is out now. It came out on Wednesday the 9th. It is $11.99. It is a 4-person arena battler, which is, it sounds familiar because we've seen a lot of arena battle games, but this one is fucked up.
Starwall. Is it like a narwhal in space?
Yes, that is exactly what it is. You control a narwhal in space. And the controls are a big part of the fun of the game. Because
is there a button to make a whale sound?
Oh my god, I wish.
Because I really want to just be able to sit there and be like,
oh, that would have been so good.
Now no. We got to get him on the show so we can give them some ideas for updates.
I'm trying to find the email because he did mention a couple of things to me about it. Here it is. Game is launching December 9th. The general press site is here. There are specifics that are different for the Xbox version, like 20 new Xbox exclusive costumes. So. Hey. Costumes mean you get to dress up your narwhal. You can have a head costume, like a hat or cat ears or devil ears or a laser sight on your horn, the narwhal horn. And you can also have an outfit, like a body wrapped in bacon or a donut, or you can have developers riding you.
All right, so bacon and a narwhal. Every member of this dev team surfs Reddit.
It is ridiculously fun. It is fun playing by yourself against the AI. It is fun playing by yourself doing the challenges, which they have.
That's, actually heavy praise. If you say a four-person arena combat game is actually fun by yourself, that's high praise.
Because it's just so stupid and goofy. And the controls, you're basically, it's kind of like controlling a car with front-wheel drive, but if the front wheel was like your hood ornament.
Oh, God.
If that's what controlled the car was the hood ornament.
Okay, that's kind of got me sold on wanting to try it.
You're basically steering everything with the tip of the horn.
Oh, my God.
So you have a gigantic narwhal behind you, flopping around, being controlled by the tip of its horn. It is, the first time we fired it up, it was me and Ashley, and she was watching me, and I just, like, hit the A button to move forward, because you can steer left and right, but you can also use the A button to move forward. And the first thing I did was spin in circles, because the controls are just so weird. And I was laughing my ass off. They have single player challenges that are either like get from point A to point B in the quickest time possible. You get different kinds of medals depending on your speed. And then other ones are destroying a set number of targets as quick as you can. Again, you get medals depending on how quick you do it. Ashley was actually getting like platinum medals on some of them.
Awesome.
Yeah. She picked up the game. She's like, let me give it a try. And then she just kept playing it and playing it and playing.
Good. She deserves to find a game she likes once in a while after putting up with all your shit.
Yeah, I know. Jacob came over to visit and I was like, oh, have I got a game you need to check out?
Who?
Jacob.
I don't know who you're talking about.
You've met him.
I know. It was the joke, you know, because he's... Yeah. He's a phantom.
Yeah. Sweatpants. The timing on that was great, too. He came over, and then Chris came home, and Ashley was home, and we had a four-player match going. And it was like Smash Brothers level of laughing and cursing. It was awesome. Beautiful.
So you had your first narwhal four-way.
Yeah, it was hot.
And pointy.
Again, the game is $12. It's not going to be for everyone because...
You obviously need to have a sense of humor.
You need a sense of humor, and it helps a lot if you have friends.
Fuck.
And apparently, according to them, the achievement values were a glitch, but they're unable to change them. There's 22 achievements in the game. 5 of them are worth 200 points each.
Huh.
17 of them are worth 0.
I want to be that guy who gets all 17 0-pointers, can never get the other 5, and just fucking gets angry.
Well, no, the ones worth the points are fairly straightforward and kind of easier to get. But
now,
like,
do you have to get those to get the others?
Yes.
Or can you actually... Okay, because it would be funny if you could actually purposely get the other 17.
No, there's one to get, like, 32 platinum medals... That's worth 0, and one of the 200s is to get a platinum medal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there's no way to get 0 out of 17, all the other 17, and not get the others. But, yeah, apparently on their Twitter they said that was a glitch, but they're unable to change the values. They could only change names. So, yay. Either way, it's worth checking out.
So
I was going to say if you were still there, because you just like stopped.
Yeah,
talking.
No, I found a game. I haven't played it yet, but I saw it on Steam Greenlight, and I actually watched someone play it on YouTube, and it looks amazing. If you haven't looked at it, go check out a video of Who's Your Daddy.
Who's Your Daddy?
Yeah, it's a two-player. One of you plays a father, and one of you plays a baby. And you're competing against each other. As the father, you're trying to childproof the house, while as the baby, you're trying to kill yourself. Like, the dad's got to like lock all the doors, move the steps to the tub and everything. The baby's like, you can drink bleach and eat glass and fucking drown yourself. And it's pre-alpha, and you can tell it's pre-alpha, but it looks hilarious. Like the one guy accidentally, he's walking around with a hammer. He's like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with a hammer? And he hits the table and glass goes everywhere. And he's like, oh shit. Hey baby, I got you a new crib. And the guy comes, you know, the guy pointing the baby comes down the stairs. He's like, oh shit. Yeah. And he goes, just hightails it towards the shards. He's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna have so much fun. Eat glass, eat glass, eat glass. And then he just turns blue and dies.
Oh my God.
So it looks like one of those games. I don't know the price point on it right now, but you know, like I said, it's pre-alpha and it shows, but it's one of those where if you just want to dick around and have a good laugh, it looks fantastic.
Speaking of Steam games, we're going to have a game to cover for next week on Steam. I am trying as hard as I can to get Dale involved with this because the game is called Corgi Warlock.
Oh yeah, I saw your tweets about that.
We have codes for it. I am going to make you play it, Pappy.
I am
going to play it. I'm saving one code for Dale in case he decides.
If I hate this game, will Dale just never talk to me again?
Possibly. I don't know. It looks fun as hell. So, who knows?
Look at the name. It better be fun.
I hope it is.
I wonder if he doesn't need your code because they've already given him, like, every stage, like they've given him the alpha and the beta versions.
Maybe, you never know.
Gonna release, it's just gonna be, you know, review, you know.
But yeah, the guy who hooked up with the codes, his name is Joseph Lieberman, and I'm hoping to get him on the show because he's apparently been in the industry for a good 13 years now. He's actually a guy that we were tweeting back and forth last night, and
Is that the guy you told me has dumpsters, or told him I have dumpster sex hookups or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't quite follow that conversation. All I know is that according to you, I'm a dirty whore.
You are. Are you going to deny that?
I am the worst whore in the world, man. Like, I've had less sex in the last 2 years than there are holidays in the last 2 years. I'm like a terrible whore.
I don't know why that's so funny to me.
I only get laid during lunar eclipses.
Oh, my Lord. You're a sad, sad person.
Thank God I'm not driven by my sex drive. Huh?
Oh, yeah. Let's see.
Why else do you think I rented an apartment 150 feet away from an adult store? Come on.
Yeah, true. But yeah, he said that we would talk in the new year. I replied back to him, anytime, you've got our info, let's make some podcast magic happen. And by magic, I mean conversation. He said, I was kind of hoping you meant the kind of magic that happens in the bedroom, but I guess we got to start somewhere. I said, we have people in PA and Vegas. Find a bedroom and shit can and probably will go down. He said, I could find a bedroom, no problem. Substitute bedroom for dumpster.
Okay, that's where I came in.
So I said, then Papa Terrace is your guy. He's the expert on anonymous dumpster hookups.
Yeah.
So you're going to fuck a guy in a dumpster, and he's going to come on our show.
As long as he comes on the show and not my face.
Wah, wah.
This episode has now been rated Don't Listen.
Dude, they're all rated Don't Listen. He did hook me up with another game, though. It is Darius Burst Chronicle Saviors, available on the PS4 and the Vita. It is developed by Pyramid and released by Degisa or Degisa.
Degisa.
Degica.
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 Degica. It's an Asian game.
It's actually pronounced dice.
Yeah, probably. It's if anyone has followed the Darius Twin franchise of side-scrolling shooters.
Right, real quick, before you get into it, it's how is that spelled, Daria? Darius?
D-A-R-I-U-S.
Okay, because every time you say it, it sounds like you're saying Daria apostrophe S, and I just want to go watch that old MTV cartoon.
It is Darius Burst, one word, okay. Chronicle Saviors, with okay. A U in Saviors, because they're fancy.
Ooh, very European.
Are you looking it up?
No.
Oh, I thought you were going to look it up.
No, I don't know how to spell it, I guess.
I'm going to make you look it up now. I'm not going to talk about it until you look it up.
I'm looking it up.
God. But I got the PS4 version to give a go, and the first thing that it made me wish was that I owned one of those hyper widescreen TVs, because it was originally an arcade game that I believe had two monitors side by side. So it was like a super hyper widescreen game. So
yeah, they're actually the advertisement for it actually shows it on a fucking super widescreen. Like, it actually panned out of the widescreen monitor just to show you how good it looks on a widescreen monitor.
Yeah, seriously, how fucking sweet does that game look?
Now, if you know, that's your thing, it's gorgeous. But oh my god, man! Like, I sucked at every game like this. Gradius.
Yeah, it's very much like the Gradius style game, side-scrolling shooter. It is basically a combination of every previous Darius game, all in one. It has branching paths. You go through, fight through the stage, kill the boss.
That explains
take a new
the $50
path.
Price point on Steam.
Yeah, it's not a cheap game. It's $40 on Vita, $60 on the PS4. So it's definitely a pricier game, but if you can get it, it's everything that you would want in that style of genre. It has four different game modes to it. It has branching paths, different difficulties, the eternal desire to own a super widescreen monitor.
Dude, everything about these names is just amazing. Because enjoy the haunting and memorable Zuntata soundtrack. I'm like, even the Zuntata is an amazing word. Like,
seriously.
Every noun involved with this game is phenomenal.
And it's like directly ported from the Japanese arcade version based on all the imagery in the game, like the splash screen showing the arcade cabinet that it's on and like insert coin and shit like that. I love that they localized it into English, but still left a lot of Japanese in there to remind you of where it came from.
That's cool.
Pretty much. Yeah, this is something like I need Wood to be listening to this episode because he loves bullet hell and shooters like this.
Yeah, get him hooked up. He'll Twitch it for you.
Well, I only had the one copy, so.
Convince him to spend $50 and he'll Twitch it for you.
Or 60 if he wants the PS4 version. Depends on if he wants trophies.
There's kind of trophies on Steam.
Yeah,
you can sell them for real money, so I'd actually say I like the Steam trophies better.
Well, you could sell the cards.
Oh, yeah, but whatever. But you can make real money. Now, granted, all of my cards combined a value of, like, tree-fitty.
I don't even have that much.
No. You do tend to give me Steam codes.
True. I can't wait to get all of the Corgi Warlock cards and see what kind of money that can get me.
Speaking of which, the same guy who you know, is now listening to our podcast regularly, my coworker, also said that
stop vaping on the show.
What?
Stop vaping on the show. I can hear it.
He also said that he really wants to try that game out. That I'm always brain farting. The Steam one, the space game.
Starpoint Gemini.
Yeah, Starpoint Gemini. I can never remember the name of the damn game, and I played it. I was almost like, man, you should just come over and play it so I can watch someone who knows what the fuck they're
doing. Yeah, man, get him over there. Get him to play it and see if he'll write down some thoughts on the game.
He's considering it. Supposedly his wife is going on vacation, and so he'll have free time.
Nice.
So he's considering just picking it up. I told him write the show. I'll harass him tomorrow. I'm like, write in for questions.
Yeah, they're going to be back on Sunday. So I think that's the quickest we've ever had a return guest.
Yeah, that's another reason I need to listen to the podcast so I know what the hell happened.
Oh my God, you need to listen to that episode.
Yeah, I'll do it. I get tomorrow off, a stroke of luck, so I'll definitely listen.
It was seriously the funniest episode I think we may have ever done.
Well, I'm glad I get to be a part of the sequel.
Yeah, that's how quick of a turnaround it was, because that episode was so fun to do that I'm like, hey Chris, when are you free? He's like, probably Sunday. I'm like, Pappy, be free on Sunday. You're like, okay. I'm like, all right, we're doing this episode.
Okay.
I'm just happy that you two are going to be a part of the sequel, the Starpoint Gemini 2-2 episode.
Nice. I like it. We're keeping that.
The 2-2 episode.
I'm still not going to play any more of the game because I'm just fucking lost.
Yeah, the one guy who emails our show a lot, Uneaten Lake, he actually sent in an email about the game. I guess I could read that now, since we're discussing Starpoint Gemini.
Well, do you want to save it for Sunday?
Well, no, because I actually already sent the email to the guys.
Oh, okay. Well, there
I was going to explain how this kind of like led to another email that we should have for Sunday. He says, Joe, just want to say the interview with Mario and Zeno from Little Green Men Games was awesome. I think I had a smile on my face for the whole show. It was the first time I heard of Starpoint Gemini 2, and it sounds great. My only concern is the price. I was totally on board with picking it up if it was like $20, but $35, I'm not so sure. Hopefully it doesn't release around the same price as Elite Dangerous. I understand that the cost to make these games is very high and the devs should be rewarded for their work, but I gotta think they'd get more sales if the price was lower. I think the Xbox market is a tad different from the PC market. The price of Elite Dangerous made me stay away from it because I'm not sure I would get my money's worth of enjoyment out of it. I sent that on to Mario and Zeno from Little Green Men, and they actually rewarded Uneaten Lake with a copy of the game.
Damn.
For his honesty. And they
awesome. Now, what I will say, though, is being the only one who put any time into the game, it's fucking huge.
It is. You will absolutely get your money's worth if it's your kind of game.
Yeah, if you're willing to do what's necessary to unlock the 50 fucking ships and 700 crew members and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Granted, if you're insane, you could just go mine asteroids for 700 hours and probably afford everything.
Which you can do.
Which is the only thing I'm good at. Hey, and again, the coworker was asking. I'm definitely going to bring some of these up on Sunday about the controls and stuff. But yeah. He's like, so is it like super, super realistic? I'm like, well, no, but you can still fuck up. Like, I headbutted a lot of asteroids.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Oh, hey, here comes one dunk.
I did enjoy that one of the achievements that I got on the Xbox One that was worth points because it's another one of those games that has a bunch of 0 point achievements in it. The one that I got 100 points for was by running into a planet.
And not docking?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Because I wasn't paying attention, and I exploded, and I got an achievement.
I'm going to have to try that. That is fantastic.
Yeah, I'm super excited that they're going to be back on, and hopefully Uneaten Lake will have another email for us for Mario and Zeno on Sunday when we talk to them. That's going to be a great episode.
That's awesome. So what else you got that you've been playing this week?
Next game to talk about is called The Delusions of Von Sottendorf and His Square Mind.
Sounds like an idiot.
It is developed by Delirium Studios, and it is going to release on December 17th on the Nintendo 3DS eShop for $12.99. We actually got a copy of this because the guys at Delirium were looking for people who were open to covering it before it released so we could try getting the word out. And I said, absolutely no problem. I am more than happy to give some quick thoughts on it. I've only had about a day and a half to play it so far, so I'm going to talk about it this week and next week so I could give a better better final thought on it next week. But so far, it is an incredibly unique exploration / puzzle game.
Oh, it sounds straight up puzzle game, you know, between the title and then the DS.
Yeah.
The DS does puzzle games very well.
The way it works is you are in a house or you're in a room and there's a number of other rooms that you have to explore so you can collect puzzle pieces, you could collect photographs, you could collect a key, and you can escape. It starts off easy enough. It drops you in a room and there's two other rooms that you can go in. The problem is the house is kind of like a slide puzzle.
Ooh.
Where there were three rooms, so there was a fourth empty space. And you had to slide the rooms around to get the doors in the rooms to line up to move from room to room. Again, it starts off easy enough with just a few rooms and just one level where you're just the ground floor. As it goes on, like I've already gotten up to, eight rooms on a 3x3 grid.
Oh, Jesus.
With each, not each room, but many rooms having doors on three different levels of the room, and they're not all in the same spot. So some could be further back, some could be closer to us. There have been trap doors in the floor that you could fall through into another room. There is a trumpet in the game that you can play it, and it will make platforms appear, or it could make, there's a knight that can chase you, like a suit of armor that can chase you. You could play the trumpet to kill the suit of armor. The trumpet only has a set number of uses.
Oh, so you got to conserve.
And it starts you off with like 5 out of 9 uses. You can find trumpet icons around to collect 3 more, but it's still something where you can't just spam the button.
Yeah, yeah.
It is a super, super novel and unique game. There looks to be a ton of content in it. Each unique area has 5 different stages to go through. The earlier ones would only take me like 2-3 minutes to get through, but obviously as there's more rooms, it's going to get longer and more difficult. And it just seems like absolutely worth picking up. The 3D in it is really good, really helpful too, because you could zoom out and use the analog stick to move the rooms around to look at the positioning of the doors so you could line them up better.
Hmm.
And it helps you kind of understand which rooms need to get put where so that they could link up. Thankfully, when the rooms do link up, because you can move them around and you could see their positioning in the bottom screen, when the rooms connect properly, they'll flash so you could see where you can cross.
Oh, okay.
So
it's puzzles in puzzles.
Puzzles in puzzles with a puzzle twist and some exploration with puzzling.
Nice. Yeah, it sounds like your kind of game,
too. Dude, it is so good. I really hope these guys get plenty of word out about the game because it's awesome, and I definitely appreciate that they were cool enough to let us preview it before release and let us talk about it and try to get some attention on it, which is pretty baller, straight baller.
Baller status.
One final game that we need to discuss this week. This is a pretty cool one for me. The game is Deadpool.
What?
Developed by High Moon Studios, published by Activision.
A new Deadpool game?
Well, I'm going to get to it. It is a port of the 360 game, the 360 PS3 game, onto the Xbox One and the PS4. It released November 17th. Sorry, it released at $49.99. I've already seen it on sale some places for $39.99. I put a chunk of time into it so far. I played the original a lot, so
yeah.
It's mainly trying to see what has changed. I know there was a lot of complaints with the prototype ports that weren't that good. It seemed to have more issues than the 360 version. The Deadpool port seems super solid so far. The visuals look a lot better. The game runs really smoothly. The info for the game says that there's DLC included, but I don't remember any DLC being available for the game, so I don't really know.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, I beat that game, and then I played a bit more on top of that. I personally couldn't justify a $30 price tag, but I do know when we hit a sale sometime next year, I'll pick it up and play the shit out of it again.
Yeah, there's two ways to look about handling this game. Do I handle it as its own thing, or do I handle it as someone who may have played a previous version?
See, you just handle it as it is. Is it a fun game? Yes.
Yes. Is it? If you have never played the game on a previous generation, it is 100% worth picking up, even at $50, because it's a fantastic game. It is funny as fuck. The writing is fantastic.
If you're big on achievement, you will get $50 out of it. If you've never played it before, in order to get a lot of the good shit, you have to beat the game and start over.
Yeah.
And it's not one of those games where it's a slog to start over. It's like, motherfucker, now I got better guns. I'm going back to level 1. Yeah.
And the performance from Nolan North as Deadpool is amazing. He just completely nails the character.
Is there still the ridiculous achievements?
Oh, yeah. Like, when you first start the game, it's like the first one is free, and he's like, oh, it's going to be one of those games, is it? Yeah. And then a second one pops up. It says, so is the second one.
Good, good. That's great.
It's just ridiculous. If you already own it on the 360 or PS3, it's not a mandatory purchase, obviously, because it's, in essence, the same game. It looks better. It seems to run at least a little bit better based on my memory of the 360 version. It feels like a definitive version of the game. The textures look better, crisper.
If you've somehow never played it, you need to pick it up just for the Tunnel of Love.
Yeah. Yeah, if you've never played the game before, this is the time to do it. If you have played it before, you might want to wait for a sale. We actually
Tunnel of Love it in the party that you crack, like the dance party.
Yeah.
God. That shit was so funny.
I talked with Mr. Shiz Blacka, friend of SML, and he had a lot of fun. He picked up the 360 version and was achievement hunting through it. And he enjoyed it so much, he felt bad that he got it on sale. So he picked up the Xbox One version and played through it again. And since I knew how much time he put into it, I wanted to get his opinions on it. So he sent us an email. So here are Mr. Shiz Black's thoughts on Deadpool. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Hi, dude. So Deadpool. Going into the game, I actually knew very little about Deadpool besides he regenerates and is crazy. The game did a great job at making me love the character, and I'm much more excited for the movie. The game's full of foul language, dick jokes, tit jokes, heads getting cut off. It makes me feel warm and fuzzy inside. I got a little bored of it at the end. Playing it 4 times and 35 hours in 1 week will do that, but it was definitely great. The fighting is very fluid, and not only different guns to choose from, but melee weapons as well. One cool feature is momentum attacks, basically build momentum and wreck shop. The upgrade system is quite varied and should work with multiple playstyles, though I'd suggest prioritizing greed. Story and music were great, and that's when I talk about the Xbox One version. The new one is a straight-up port. He says there's no graphical enhancements. I thought it looked better. I guess it comes down to TV or running and whatever else.
Or our old man eyesight going on there.
True. Oh,
it looks better than I remember.
I could be delusional, very much so. I grabbed the 360 game on sale for $20, and yet the Xbox One version ran me $70. These are Canadian prices, so they're higher.
Jesus.
Even better, if you stream directly through your system via the Twitch app, it mutes all of the fucking game music, even the menu music, which I noticed, which was weird. That Twitch streaming on the console automatically mutes the menu music and the music in general.
That's weird.
Some music-themed cutscenes obviously get ruined, but one scene actually got blocked entirely on Twitch. Like, I didn't even know Twitch could force pause a stream like that. So that's weird. I don't know. It was just one of the cutscenes. It's
now I want to know which one, though, because they were all pretty bad. Like, which one was worse? So bad that it had to pause.
It might be a musical issue, like a music licensing issue. It's like why Rock Band doesn't let you take screenshots or video captures.
Okay.
It doesn't block streaming, thankfully. I had no idea that you could actually have Twitch automatically block music or anything, but I don't stream much, so if you're not a streamer, that won't affect you at all. He finishes up, overall a great game that I highly recommended. I hope you held on to your 360 or PS3 version, because you don't need to pick up a current gen copy if you do, especially since I remember the OG version's coming out at $50, which I that was a different time when the Canadian dollar was worth, you know, more. If you're an achievement hunter, it is a nice list. There's a couple pain in the ass ones, like beating the game on hard, but overall it was clever enough for me to 100% it on both systems, hence why I played it so much in 1 week. Peace, motherfucker.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair and honest. So there you go, guys. If you haven't played it, you should play it. But if you have played it, maybe wait for a sale. That's what I'm getting out of that.
Pretty much. If you haven't played it, it is absolutely worth getting, especially because that's not something I would see hitting backwards compatibility on the Xbox One.
Well, especially now that there's an Xbox version.
Yeah.
They're not going to spend all of that time and money and then be like, oh yeah, now in 6 months you can play your original version.
I don't know. There's a couple games that you can have both versions, like Castle Crashers, Castle Storm, Halo Spartan Assault, but...
Yeah, but we're talking smaller games and or Microsoft entities.
True.
Yeah.
So those are our featured titles of the week. Starwall, Battle High 2 A+, 6180 The Moon, Deadpool, Darius Burst, Chronicle Saviors, and The Delusions of Von Sottendorf and His Square Mind.
I think
across the board, they are all worth picking up. Obviously, some of them more than others, depending on your game preference and your financial situation.
But so you should prioritize 6180 The Moon first. It's cheap and fun.
Yeah, if you don't own a PS4, you could probably skip Darius Burst.
All right, well, I'll do that. I'll skip.
You could always grab Steam. I keep forgetting it's on Steam.
Yeah, I know better. Sometimes I know where my money shouldn't go.
True. If you have a 3DS, Von Sottendorf is absolutely worth grabbing. Something I still need to do, I was supposed to do this last night. When you first start up the game, it recommends that you grab headphones because it is developed with 3D sound.
Ooh.
So I really, really need to check that shit out.
That's neat.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I streamed a game yesterday.
What'd you stream?
We streamed Don't Starve Together.
Do tell.
Myself, Kat, and then a coworker, an old coworker of mine who moved back to Bumblefuck, was it Virginia? I don't remember where he's from. He's got a nice accent. That's it. No, his name is Aaron. We jokingly called him AA Ron for the cast. But yeah, everything went really well, like amazingly well in Don't Starve Together. And for people who played that game, that yeah, when things go well, you should start to worry. We played for about an hour and 15 minutes with no issues, like finding everything, almost everything we were looking for. Like I was even shaving the buffalo. I just brain farted what they're druffalo, yeah. A beefalo, there we go. I was shaving buffalo while they slept to get their hair for winter, and we had no problem making farms and this and that. Basically, we're like, holy shit, we can make it to winter and not die. So,
nice.
Of course, at the 1 hour, 15 minute mark, I just hear Aaron go, I just turned into a werebeaver and I don't know why. Like, okay, well, that's your character. If you don't eat enough wood, you just turn into a beaver.
A werebeaver?
You're a lumberjack who has to eat food and wood because you're a werebeaver.
Oh my
so
God.
He wasn't balancing it somewhere. So, you know, being the instigator, I hear him go, it says I can gnaw on a beefalo. And I'm like, you should do that. And then like 5 seconds later, oh, fuck, that was a terrible idea. There's five of them. And I see him running away at the top of my screen, like just running back to camp being chased by shaved beefalo. And he's like, I'm going insane. I'm being attacked by Shadow. So I go and join him, and I forget to equip my log suit, so I attack a shadow to try and save him, and one hit kill, like I'm dead.
Oh my
so
Lord.
Now I'm a robot ghost, and then he dies like 5 seconds later, so he's a beaver ghost. And Kat's off fucking collecting frogs and flowers, and it's like, hey, where are you at? You should come find us. So we finally, our ghosts find her, and I'm like, well, this looks like a good way to end it. You should just die so us three ghosts can say goodnight. And she's like, if I'm going out, I'm going out the way I want to. So she set fire to everything.
Oh, my God.
And burned herself to death. So she died doing what she loved, being on fire. And so, yeah, so I got me and Aaron got killed by fire or by evil shadows. And then she just went, fuck it. I miss you guys. Let me join you. And she set everything on fire and died.
Oh my, hashtag yo laughed.
Yeah, so it was, as usual, it was a lot of fun, but yeah, someday we'll actually make it through a whole episode and be like, hey, we're going to end it here and say goodnight, rather than, hey, we're all dead, goodnight. Someday. Other than that, I just played a little more Fallout. I found the Treasure of Jamaica Plains. That's one of their funnier quests. I had Kate with me, and it was a really funny reaction when I got to the treasure. But you do get a baseball bat that randomly sends enemies flying.
Oh, nice.
So I think I'm going to, even though I'm not a melee guy, I'm going to have to equip that for some lower level enemies outside and see if I can pull off a few home runs. Because, yeah, I mean, there's so much in that damn game. A coworker found a kid hiding in a fridge. And when he opened it, the kid was like, "Thanks, I was hiding from the bombs." That was 200 years ago. And the kid's a ghoul. He'd been stuck in a fucking fridge for 200 years, and he wants you to escort him home. So,
Oh my God.
Now that everyone's been putting more and more time into Fallout, we're all finding the side shit, the weird shit. Yeah.
Oh my Lord. There's an update coming to one of your favorite games.
Rock Band?
Plague Inc.
Ooh.
It is getting a free update that includes 27 new achievements for simian flu.
Ooh.
So I was looking over them, and there was one for like destroying humanity and having apes take over the world.
Awesome.
So I figured you would enjoy hearing that.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. I haven't played that in a few months, man. I need a reason to get back into it and some more content. Sounds perfect.
There you go. Have you tried The Incredible Adventures of Van Helsing yet?
No, I have not. I'm going to look into that this weekend. I really have nothing but free time this weekend.
Did you grab it already, at least?
No,
you
did not.
You boner.
Yeah.
It's a free game.
I still have, like, 30 more days.
You dick. It's basically Diablo.
Yeah, that's why I'm not in, like, a huge hurry, because I have Diablo.
Yeah, but it's new.
Yeah, I'll try it.
It's good stuff. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
Amazon.
That was our conversation.
Yeah. Well, you didn't play it. We can't have a conversation.
No, this was still a good conversation.
Amazon had their way with me again recently.
Oh, yeah. I read the,
You saw my saga there.
Yeah. I'm gonna go, urinate while you tell this story to the masses, because it's a story worth telling.
You going to piss doesn't work when Chris isn't here to cover for you.
Well, I think then we should just have like 45 seconds of pure silence.
All right, go.
All right.
What a piece of shit. I can't fucking stand that he does shit like this. Like, I'm trying to be professional and do a podcast here. He's like, I gotta go pee. It's like, what the fuck, dude? We're doing a show. Chris isn't here. I can't cover for him. And he's just going to walk off and go piss in the middle of... What if we still had Sun on? What if he was still here, still talking to us? And he's like, well, what these go piss mean? And like, he's going to pee. He's this piece of shit co-host, fucking idiot, is going to go piss during a show. What a worthless sack of shit. I hope he dies in a fire. That's all I can really say about it, is I hope he dies in a fire. A fiery explosion caused by the methane of his noxious, horrible, disgusting farts.
So was it pure silence?
Nothing but silence.
Well, it's, people are going to look back at that, the last minute, as the best we've ever done.
I'm sure they will.
Highway to the podcast. That's great. And now I like it that people are going to be like, should I fast forward it? Or should I wait?
Yeah, we'll go with that.
I feel better now. So Amazon and the absolutely failing...
oh, my God.
That's contract that they have.
It's not even that a UPS issue was the problem. It was straight up Amazon fucked me. I ordered Xenoblade Chronicles X for the Wii U, the special edition, back in August. So it's not like it was just something I did in the past week or two. Friday came and went. My order never shipped. At all.
So that's, yeah, okay, so that's Amazon warehouse issue.
Yeah. I never got an email stating, hey, there's a delay with your order. I never got a message there. There might be, we're having stock issues. It came down to, once again, me contacting Amazon and getting pissed off and saying that this is happening way too often. I have had a number of issues this year. This is unacceptable. And they replied back telling me that I could order the special edition from one of the resellers who were, instead of like $80, they were trying to get like $130.
Yeah, well, because they're reselling. They're not doing it for a loss.
They're like, you could pick up the special edition and we'll refund you the shipping cost for the fastest shipping. I'm like, are you out of your fucking mind?
Send you the game so you can pay 30% more and we'll pay the shipping.
Yeah, they were going to cover the shipping. I basically said, I don't have the money to rebuy this game. I paid for the order with credit. Like, I traded shit into GameStop, bought Amazon gift cards, and paid for it with trade-in credit. I don't have $140 to rebuy this game and have shipping refunded to me.
Yeah.
So I replied to their email with that, and then I got a reply from a guy named Tim B, who Amazon should give a fucking raise to, because he said to me, I have looked through your history. I agree that what you're dealing with is unacceptable because, again, this shit happened with Fallout not even a month ago.
Yeah.
Where that came late.
Well, and we know I've had some misadventures with them as well.
Yeah. So I talked with him. He told me that what he was going to do was he issued a promotional code to my account to buy the digital version of Xenoblade Chronicles X for $29.99. It would give me a digital code. I would download it immediately on my Wii U, and then he would go in and process a refund for the $29.99.
Sweet.
That way I could play the game right away and then on time. Or not on time, but they were claiming it would arrive on Tuesday. I talked with Ashley because before spending even $30, I got to get an okay from her. She was like, if they're going to refund it fairly quickly, I guess we can go for it. So I placed the order. I sent the reply to the email. I'm like, I hope you understand the only reason I'm doing this is because of your assurance that I'll get a refund of the amount. And I figured I'll go to sleep, wake up, and hopefully everything will be taken care of. I wake up to an email saying that because it's a digital copy, if they were to refund it, it would revoke the digital license. So,
they can't just give you a $30 credit?
So what the person, it wasn't this Tim guy again, what some other person did was go through a couple of my past orders and do partial refunds on like three different orders to make up that $30.
Okay, so they at least made sure you got the $30 back.
Yeah, and it was funny for Ashley to be like, why did they refund $5 and then $12?
It's probably because they're only allowed to do a certain amount without like a manager, a high-level manager approval.
Probably. But Amazon absolutely fucked me over, and then Tim B, if you're listening, which I know you're not, God damn it, Potato, stop jumping on the desk. He basically saved the day, and
that's awesome.
He ensured that Amazon is going to keep our remaining pre-orders, because I was absolutely ready to cancel fucking everything.
Yeah, no, I mean, dude, like, there's so little competition out there nowadays. It's Best Buy, GameStop, Amazon, really. If you're one of the big three, you got to do every little thing to stay on top.
Yeah.
Because now it's really easy to drive them to one of the other two competitors. And it sounds like Amazon lately just, I don't know what's going on, but they are not giving a shit. And yeah, and their apologies are pretty crap, you know, with my issues. Oh, we gave you a free month of Prime. I'm like, motherfucker, like, one, I still have student Prime, so I ain't even paying for it. So you gave me a free month of free. Thanks.
See, we're paying for Prime, and I'm telling them shit like, when you offer me a free month of Prime when Prime isn't getting me my shit to begin with, what's the point?
Yeah, we're giving you 30 more days of frustration.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, and I don't know what's, and what's ticking me off is there's a fucking Amazon distributor here in Vegas. Why is all my shit coming out of California?
It might be where their items are.
Yeah, every single video game happens to be in California, and I don't know if it's UPS guys stealing shit or what, but I don't know how you lose the same game three times.
Yeah.
Like, that's a problem.
I think that's a UPS issue. That's not an Amazon issue.
But that is a problem that needs to be corrected.
Yeah.
Because I'm talking to friends and coworkers, like, there's a huge problem here with UPS stealing shit.
Yeah, that,
and Amazon
to
needs
be fair,
down
that's
like,
not
listen,
an Amazon thing. That is 100% UPS.
But Amazon ships through UPS most of the time.
Oh,
which was great when I ordered my holiday stuff from Black Friday. Fucking FedEx showed up on a Sunday and dropped off half of my delivery. Like, what? Can Amazon just deliver through FedEx forever? Because
trust me, we went over this on one of the earlier podcasts where the UPS guy. He just left a package downstairs sitting on top of a mailbox that was opened.
Yeah.
Like, I went over that a couple of months ago on this show, and...
But what my thing is Amazon gets these complaints. Like, they know what's going on. They need to tell UPS, listen, there's other delivery carriers out there. Get your shit together.
Yeah, thankfully, since then, every time there's a UPS delivery, it's sitting out front on right outside the door. Like, even the stupid, heavy-ass Amazon Pantry Prime order that we placed that had, like, two cases of water, a case of Surge, all this canned goods. Like, that shit was in front of the door, a happy knock on the door, and it's waiting. So, thankfully, my issue was taken care of with UPS, but that was straight up Amazon that massively dropped the ball there.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, it's still a great, convenient company, but when you're suffering a frustration rate above 50%, it's not worth it anymore.
Yeah. I will say that they absolutely made good this time.
But how many times? They had to admit, we went through your history and went, oh, fuck.
Yeah. And it's kind of shitty that I have to lose my mind in emails to them. Like, this is absolutely unacceptable. Your Amazon Prime prices went up and I'm having constant issues with new release games. And to be fair, it's basically only with new release games that we have issues. If it's just a standard order, we get it when we're supposed to get it.
But again, I think they're having distribution problems with the new stuff. And if it, at what point do you fix it?
Yeah.
You know, if you're consistently finding that your nationwide distribution for new games is shit, fix it.
Yeah. Oh, man, I don't know.
So yeah, that's...
Shit be cray.
But I got nothing else to talk about here. I got no news or nothing.
Yeah, me neither. So... I know PlayStation had their a press conference go down at the PlayStation Experience. I don't have that pulled up though, so I don't remember any real news.
Yeah, let's be honest, we don't really care.
I think the big news that came out of there was that they now have a handful of PS2 games available to purchase on the PS4. It's shitty that there's some games that have been released digitally on the PS3 and now they're released on the PS4. There's no discount. Like, I understand that they up-res the games to 1080p and they added trophy support. I have Twisted Metal Black on the PS3, which is a PS2 digital title. Give me a fucking discount on the new one.
What? Microsoft has been balling out with the if you bought it already, you can just download it.
Yeah, with their backwards compatibility and the games being forward compatible, which that's a pet peeve of mine. Everyone is calling the games backward compatible. The games are forward compatible because they're going forward. The console is backward compatible.
Yeah. A backward compatible game would be like playing Halo 5 on your Xbox 360.
Yes, and that is a technical impossibility.
And it would be pretty stupid.
No, it'd be pretty cool.
It'd still be, hey, let me play this game with worse graphics.
Yeah.
And really slow, because the hard drive can't handle it.
Yeah, it's just, I don't understand Sony. I'll admit I want to pick up Rogue Galaxy because it's an amazing game, and I really don't have a way to play my PS2 copy anymore.
I think the biggest issue is I'm seeing with games is much like politics, is that there have been separate entities long enough that I think people are firmly embedded in their camps.
Yeah.
And they're willing to overlook things. Like, if you're a Sony guy, you're willing to overlook having to buy it again because you're just, I love Sony. It's my console. I'll do it, you know? And there's less people like me who just go, you know what? I'm look at the console based on what I like to play and what I want. And then if it's got a problem, I'll still complain about it. And if it's good, I'll hype it up.
Yeah. I mean, they can't even fucking discount the game if you already bought a digital copy of it. Christ, even Nintendo will give you a fucking discount on a virtual console title on the Wii U that you already bought on the Wii.
And Nintendo is notorious for not giving a shit.
Yeah, Nintendo doesn't know what the fuck the internet is at this point in time. But
yeah,
they still have it where if you already own Mario 64 on the Wii, you can buy it on the Wii U for $2 instead of $10. Why can't I get Twisted Metal Black for $2 instead of $10? Why can't I get it for $5 instead of $10?
Yeah, something.
Like just,
something, thank you for being a multiple purchaser.
I know. And like only two of the eight games are $10. The rest are $15. Rogue Galaxy is $15. Mark of Kree is $15. All three Grand Theft Auto titles are $15. And again, that's shit that was available.
But if they meet sales expectations, they have no reason to change.
True. Very true.
That's on the consumer.
I know, and it's crappy, but at least they're putting a little bit of effort into the ports by up-resing the graphics. They still look like PS2 games, but they look like crisp PS2 games.
I can see the polygons.
I'll give them credit on that, because you go back to a PS2 game on a PS2, and that looks fucking ugly.
Yeah, seriously. I saw a lot of the image comparisons for Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, that's not one of the ports that they're talking about.
But still, I'm saying, like, fucking ugly graphics, what we're used to nowadays versus just 10 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, again, the Final Fantasy VII port hit the PS4 as well, and I did pick that up because I'm...
You're a whore.
Gutless whore, I guess? No, I love the Final Fantasy series, and I do appreciate that they added cheats to the game to speed it up.
That is nice. For a Final Fantasy game, I think that's what's been needed for a decade.
They added three cheats to the game, and none of them affect trophies, which is awesome. They made one where it speeds up the gameplay 300%. So it's times three gameplay speed. They added one that eliminates all random encounters, which speeds things up really well. And then there's one, I'm not sure if I would use this one, except for emergencies, where if you activate it, it gives everybody, refills their health and their limit break bars.
That's nice, if you're just playing for story.
Yeah, so it's definitely a way to encourage people to play through the game again.
Well, except for the random encounter skipping, at which point you'll inevitably reach a point where you have to go and farm for 60 hours to make up for your lack of XP.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't turn off random battles, but I'll keep that game in 3x speed the whole goddamn time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because now it's almost as fast as a regular game.
Yeah, and then there's all these rumors coming out that the actual Final Fantasy VII Remake is going to be an episodic game, which has people freaking the fuck out. That it's going to be released in installments because the whole game wouldn't fit on a single disc. Which I don't know. It seems...
Yeah, shady.
I just worry that it's going to be like, episode 1 releases now, episode 2 releases in 6 months. You only get, like, the Yuffie bonus character is a season pass exclusive.
Well, they're rewriting the story, so this time Tifa dies.
Man, I don't know. I think a lot of people lost their minds over it, and it might turn out to be what people don't want.
So could this be our generation's Doom? Duke Nukem Forever, sorry.
Yeah,
I don't know why I said Doom. Duke Nukem Forever.
You never know.
Well,
I don't think it could be that bad, because if nothing else, the game is going to look great.
Even the most patient gamers are going to throw a shit fit if you fuck with them too much.
Yeah. Although people are excited, next week is supposed to be a Smash Brothers Direct showing off Cloud in Smash.
Cool.
So I think that'll be good.
I think that the Cloud should be the original character. Like, in all of his pointy elbowed glory.
All nine polygons.
Nine polygons super glued together.
That'd be funny if it was an alternate costume.
That would actually be legitimately cool if they let you, you know, de-res Cloud.
Use the PS1 model. I don't know if Nintendo would appreciate that, considering Final Fantasy VII was originally going to be on the N64.
Yeah.
And then Sony was like, hey, come over to us. We don't have cartridges.
And here's some money.
Yeah, I'm sure that helped too.
Yeah. But anyhow, I think we're pretty good on this podcast. We managed to fill up an hour and 45.
Yeah. Of course, we got to do our weekly. Make sure to email us at thesmlpodcast@gmail.com, because we have codes for so many of the games we talked about this week. We have codes for The Delusions of Von Sottendorf in a Square Mind. We have one of those to give out. We have two codes for 6180 The Moon. So if $4 is too rich for you, could get one from us. We have a spare code for Battle High 2A+. We still have a code for Baseball Riot. We still have a code for Super Party Sports Football. We've got codes for Corgi Warlock, which we're going to talk about next week. We still have a code for Dreamals from the PS4. We got codes, bitch.
Write to us. Write to us.
Send us an email and get free shit.
We have all the platforms. All of them.
Most of them. We don't have anything for Wii U right now.
All the platforms.
Music this week. I'm contemplating checking out what songs are on the Xenoblade Chronicles X Special Edition soundtrack. The special edition includes a flash drive with 10 songs on it, so maybe I'll find something good in there.
Hey, that sounds cool.
So.
Yeah. Bye. We'll be right back.
something, and we're stuck on a whole different planet. No peace looking at the sky, trouble's always all around, so we stay quick with the guns and cannons. Standing as long as we can until we get all dolls up. Then call our bets off, we'll blow the guitar, dealing with lives messed up. Dark matter, every minute matters. Living wild, other lives shatter. See it go scatter. As they pour out, we can handle them. There's a tar taking over the cave, unexpected. Hard to accept it, getting marked for death. Seeking friends, snatched and darkly possessed. The tar inside, still in the body and breath. So holding a shell is left. Witness the head in the flesh, a fight to the death. Screaming, where's the relief? Maybe no more sleep. All swallowed in grief. Images start to stalk my release. I hear voices, but no one talking to me.
Yes, I am washing away my peaceful days anyway. Anyhow, on the sea left of the sea. If you were losing your way, you'd need some protection. Right, I'll get to wherever you go. They do find you with Mr. Key.
Sun doesn't rise in this sky. Black tar covers most eyes.